The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
10 years of trying to fix and change and be better and do better and be this person I thought, this perfect person that I thought God expected of me. And I'm saying, God, okay, I'm feeling more burdened than free and more stressed than peaceful. What more do I have to do to live this Christian life victoriously?
Yeah. Kyle Winkler gives you permission to be imperfect and rest in God's grace. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me.
I am.
And we're on the same page on this one, right?
We are. Okay. Yes, we are. All right. Your first question, we're on the same page.
All right. So we're just here's the setup, okay? Because at the end of the chapter, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, the classic Jesus sermon, like that's all you need to live by, right? It says, it ends with this, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I mean, how do you read that and go, what, God?
I can't be. I cannot be.
Well, I mean, that's literally part of the foundation is we are not.
Right.
So this book got my attention, right?
Right.
Kyle Winkler is our guest. He's got a book called Permission to Be Imperfect. And how does this line up? How does this even work? Well, we're going to find out. Kyle, welcome back to Life Today.
So good to be back with you both.
Yeah, it's great.
Tammy, great to meet you as well.
Thank you, Kyle. You too.
So straighten me out, man, because I don't know what to do with this sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big one for me, even wrestling with that, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And as most things in Scripture, context is key.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at who is Jesus talking to there for the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking largely to a Jewish audience that had lived lifetimes of law, lifetimes of sacrificing, lifetimes of trying to please God through what they did. And so lifetimes of self-righteousness. Mm. And so he's confronting their sense of self-righteousness with that. He's saying, oh, you think that you're good? Well, let's up the ante a little bit. Here's what good really is. Be perfect like God is perfect. That's what your standard is. If you're going to try and think that you can be good enough, that's what your standard, but you can't even do that. So he's confronting their sense of self-righteousness so that they'll walk away being like, oh, I'm not good enough. And therein is the purpose. So they realize their need for a Savior. Mm. He's warming them up for their need for Him.
So, I mean, like, literally the point is you can't be perfect.
You can't be perfect. You can't do it enough. And interestingly, he even says he equates perfection with God's unconditional love. So if you want to even try, it would be in loving people. That would be the way that you could try. But you can't even do that perfectly. So as you said, the whole point is you can't do it enough. You need someone who did, and that's Jesus.
Well, that helps.
Honestly, you just gave me permission to be imperfect.
Right? That's
hallelujah.
The point. Yes.
I feel relieved and free already. Honestly, reading your book, and I watched a podcast over the weekend as well, I honestly walked away feeling lighter, mainly because I sobbed a few times.
They'll do it.
It was so good and such a revelation for me, Kyle. It was important. Your voice is so important for such a time as this. And you haven't always had this voice. I love how you have called yourself a holy police at times.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. Like in the past.
Yes.
Absolutely loved it. But I'm so grateful for your knowledge of this and in bringing me back to living the best Christian life I could possibly live. And what does that look like, Tammy? Is it constantly fighting for perfection in my life, which I am a bit of a perfectionist. So I kind of can gauge it that way. And the disappointment that I must bring God at times and disqualifying me sometimes in my life because of, you know, mishandling something or bad choices, whatever it is. But you have spoken into my life too and reminded me about God's love and the love of Christ and how much He loves me and drawing into that. And once I understand that even greater than what I do now, it's going to cause me to want to walk in Him even greater. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, that's the whole point, you know, and that really is the story that I share. That's my story.
Okay.
You know, years ago, really back to potty training, I thought that there was just something so wrong with me. I always just had that feeling.
Wow.
There's just something wrong with me. I didn't like my personality. Years ago, I was really, still am, a natural introvert. But back as a kid, that caused me to be a loner and an outcast and all the different things that kids will call you. And so that kind of just reinforced this feeling as a kid that there's a lot of fixing that I need.
Wow.
So then at 16 years old, I hear about the power of God in a new way, and I start to see the Bible in a real way for the first time, and I'm thinking, okay, nothing else has worked before to fix me.
Yeah.
So maybe this faith thing will do it.
Mm.
So what I ended up doing is I took to the faith as if it was a self-improvement program, like a spiritual
wow.
self-improvement program. And the Bible then became this book of instructions to help fix me up,
wow.
change me up, grow yeah. me up, so maybe I could be loved,
right.
maybe I could stay loved, maybe
right.
I could be pleasing, accepted, blessed, all of those things by God. And I tried so many things, so many spiritual disciplines to do it. I did every prayer strategy and fast strategy. I was serving in the church all the time. Monday night was spiritual growth seminar. Tuesday was advanced Bible study. Wednesday, I was a youth group leader. Thursday, small group leader. Friday, intercessory prayer. Saturday and Sunday was service while working in the church. None of it worked. And so 10 years.
Okay.
10 years of trying to fix and change and be better and do better and be this person I thought, this perfect person that I thought God expected of mm-hmm. me. And I'm saying, God, okay, I'm feeling more burdened than free and more stressed than peaceful. What more do I have to do to live this Christian life victoriously?
Yeah.
And that was, there was a number of encounters that I had, but it wasn't an overnight thing. It was really a journey of God showing me His love, of Him showing me that I had the Christian life all backward, that I was thinking the goal of the Christian life was about being better, striving for perfection. But it's not about being better, it's about being loved. So that was so much of my story, and understanding the power and the healing that comes naturally just out of knowing that you're loved and really finally receiving that does more for you
yes.
than you could ever do for yourself by trying.
Yes.
Here's the interesting thing, because the Bible does lay down a way to behave, a way to think, a way to live, because it produces good fruit in us, right?
Right.
There is, you know, faith without the works is dead.
Right.
Scripture tells us. And so what you're looking for is kind of there, right? But how do we get twisted so that it becomes like a New Testament legalism,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm. To the point where it's miserable when
such
it should be
point.
Giving us life.
Yes.
Right. And certainly the Bible does, just as you said, it outlines, there's lots of good advice, and I've learned to kind of separate good advice from the good news. Good advice has to do with our relationship with other people. It has to do with things that are going to help us, eating healthy, exercising. There are a lot of things that are beneficial to us, but none of those prove anything to God. Mm. None of those make you any more accepted vertically with God. None of those bring you any more favor or any more blessings with God. And I think that's what, certainly for me, that's what I was confusing. I was looking at the various principles in Scripture, and I was thinking, okay, if I do these things, then I'm going to prove myself to God. Then maybe He will keep loving me. Maybe He will keep blessing me. Mm. Maybe that's going to be my strategy for victory in every area of my life. And what it ended up doing more than anything is it ended up exhausting me.
Yeah, sure.
And it ended up burning me out. And that's what happens. When you take a principle and you use it as something to prove something, it becomes a law.
Right.
And what was the law meant to do? It was meant to show you can't do it. It was meant to show your need for a Savior.
Yeah, yeah.
Many people, Kyle, I know, and I've been one of them at times for sure, but I can guarantee you that there are so many people watching today that have felt like they are not good enough, that God is constantly disappointed in them. That they will never measure up. And it's a lot of your testimony. Like you've done everything, you've done it all. And many people have. They will serve. And it's just, they feel like they are not enough and will never be enough. So how can we fight that lie?
Yeah, for me is I mentioned being a natural introvert for so long, I felt like that disqualified me from a lot of things. I felt that disqualified me, made me not good enough for even ministry. And so one thing that God said to me, finally, when I'm like trying to rebuke the spirit of introversion and everything and it's not changing.
you weren't loud enough and bold enough.
That's right.
Because you're not loud enough and bold enough.
Right. And so God settled me down and he said, you have a personality, a style, and a story to reach people that others can't with theirs. Use the gift of you.
Mm. Wow.
Use the gift of you.
I never thought of even the things I didn't like about myself, which many of them ended up being part of God's design for me, but I never thought about how those could be a gift that God could use. And it turns out when I have leaned into my most authentic self, that is what God has used to connect people. So I say that first off for people who maybe there's something about you that you don't like. Use the gift of you. You have a personality, a style, and a story to reach people that others can't with theirs. But the other thing is that Christ has made us enough. I think of Colossians. You know, Paul is talking to the Christians at Colossae, and they're battling what a lot of us battle. They had religious leaders that were telling them that their faith in Jesus wasn't enough. There was more they had to do, more disciplines they had to do. Paul calls that high-sounding nonsense. And in Colossians 2:10, he reminds them of the truth. He says that you are complete through your union with Christ. You see, we're thankful for salvation, of course, and a lot of people think that salvation is just about forgiveness, but that's not even the half of it. Salvation is about wholeness. It's about you being completed with the nature of Jesus so that you lack nothing.
That's good.
So you have to know you're a gift, your personality, your style, your story, it's a gift, but you're also whole in Christ. You have the nature of Jesus, you're lacking nothing, which means really your true self, there's nothing you need to fix. You are good and you are good with God.
Gosh, I love that.
Yeah.
Randy, I watched this weekend, I think I'd said earlier, his podcast, Permission to be Imperfect. And at 20 minutes in, Kyle, you had me weeping, just like I feel now, because God has anointed you and he's appointed you. You have so much wisdom on your life. And you spoke to me in that room. I was weeping, but you turned to me in the camera and you just said, Tammy, even though you didn't know my name, you spoke into my life. And my hands went out and I just started receiving and receiving and receiving. Because I think so many people feel like we are a disappointment to God, that we're not enough, that our past dictates our future and our present even, that we disqualify ourselves from so many things. And Kyle, what you did in that moment for me, just speaking into my life, like all of these things, the way God made me, the way God made you, the gifts that you have, let God use them and multiply them. And something you said also, so I want to thank you for that. Go watch that podcast at 20 minutes after. Tell you, grab some tissue. It's going to minister to you. But I'm going to read this quote from you. It meant so much to me. And I believe that somebody else might need to hear it today, too. It says, Jesus didn't come to set the bar for how to live. He came to live up to the bar because he knew that we couldn't. And that, honestly, for me, was the gospel. It was so good. And it like made sense. I resonated with that. It's okay if I'm not perfect. God wants me to work on these things. I know it doesn't give me permission to say, this is just who I am and that's it.
But can I interrupt? Because I have a question. Does God want us to work on it or does he want us to allow him to work on it?
He wants our dependency on him. That's what faith is all about.
That's
for
good.
Him to do the work in us. Because when we try, we end up getting into flesh to do it. And what does flesh inevitably do? Jesus said it, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
And we're going to fail.
We're going to fail
every time.
Right.
And so then we keep going in that same circle that we're frustrated and upset because I'm never going to conquer this or even sin in my life. Sin is a big thing too. So I'm never going to conquer this thing. So it's going to be impossible. Talk about that too, because you have a great chapter on that in your book as well.
Yeah, I have a chapter.
Ending the battle.
It's called Ending Your Battle with Sin.
Yes.
Right.
There's a few things, of course, because this always comes up. So I have to say that sin is destructive, of course. It hurts us. It hurts other people. There are natural consequences. It doesn't stop God from loving you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But it does hurt us, and God doesn't want that. So if I can use another word that has sin in it, I'm not insinuating that there's any encouragement to sin here. But the reality we have to understand about sin is that none of us are going to be able to completely stop sinning, and that's the whole reason Jesus came.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole 1,500 years that Israel kept the law, they couldn't even keep the first of the Ten Commandments perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Christian history, we see of people fasting themselves to skin and bones. There's a story of these people living in isolation on top of pillars to try to stay holy.
Didn't work.
People trying to flog and whip themselves to try to submit, get into submission. None of it worked. There's no silver bullet to stop sin. Mm. But it's not hopeless to get better. The issue is a lot of us are going about it all wrong. We're either trying to stop sinning by rule keeping or commandment keeping,
mm-hmm.
or we're trying to do it by feeling guilty and thinking that feeling bad about ourselves is going to make us stop. Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:56 that law empowers sin. So when you put rules on top of yourself, the pressure of those rules and those rules just keep sin on your mind, so you end up doing it. It's like when you say, don't eat that chocolate, don't eat that chocolate, don't eat that chocolate.
Right. I'm going to eat that chocolate, Kyle.
Or that cookie for me. You end up eating it.
Yes.
That's this principle at work. And then when you end up feeling bad about yourself, mm-hmm. you're sin conscious. In Hebrews 10, the author talks about how Israel and their sin consciousness, it just led them to keep sacrificing, and that sacrificing led them to be reminded of their sin, and the reminders of their sin led them to keep sacrificing. and that's what we get into, isn't it?
Yes.
Is we feel guilty, then we feel, I gotta make up for this guilt by doing something. Mm. And then we try to do something, and then we inevitably fail in one way or another. We feel guilty again, and then we think, I gotta do something, and round it goes. So what works? I say that you naturally sin less when you think less about sin and more about your forgiveness.
Mm. Mm.
Peter said that we don't grow in godliness because we've forgotten our cleansing. So remember your cleansing.
Mm.
Remember who you are. There's a lesson I learned when I was skiing, the first time I skied, when the instructor finally let us go to the slopes. He said, don't focus on the trees or the light poles, focus on the path in front of you. And somebody asked why, and he said, because you'll hit what you focus on.
Yeah.
And I've learned that that's true for pilots and anybody trying to make quick maneuvers, and it would be a great lesson. I wish I'd have learned it early on in my Christian life. But when you focus on all the obstacles that you shouldn't do, you end up hitting those obstacles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Instead, focus on the path in front of you. And because of Jesus, that's a path of grace lined with unconditional love. You will be holier more automatically than you ever will be on purpose when you stop trying so hard and just give yourself permission to be imperfect.
Yeah, that principle's true. That's why people get hit on the side of the highways.
Yeah.
Mm. Because somebody looks and they see the lights or whatever. It's called object avoidance. We tell kids in soccer or in hockey, don't look at the goalie if you've got a free kick. Look at where you want to put the ball. And I think in the church, too many times we're like, let's focus on that goalie there. That thing is going to stop you from winning.
Yes, yes.
When what you're saying is, no, let's focus on Christ because that's the mark. That's where the victory is.
That's
Amen.
It. Yeah.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
I love
and keep
it.
Your eyes on how much
that's
He loves
good.
You. And that's going to do more for you. I mean, the love of God, as Ephesians 3:17-19 says, if you can grasp how high and how deep and how wide it is, that's going to give you the strength and the power and the fullness that comes from God.
I want everybody to know that. Tammy, I hope people request this book.
Yes, you need to request this book, Permission to Be Imperfect, How to Strive Less, Stress Less, and Sin Less.
Yeah.
Kyle, what a great book. We want to make sure to get you this book, but first I want you to focus on something that's really important that you can be a part of today. Watch this.
The mere thought of innocent children being trapped in slavery, robbed of their freedom and future, was and still is beyond heartbreaking. Today, millions of children around the world are still trapped in the horror of child trafficking. They are voiceless, defenseless, and in desperate need of our help. I'll never forget the moment when I first learned about the devastating reality that changed my world, child trafficking. even after these children are found, the journey does not end there. These children need more than just rescue. They need love, support, and encouragement to heal from the trauma that they've endured. They need a safe haven, a place where they can rebuild their lives. I have seen firsthand the difference that a loving family can make in the lives of these children. Every step of this journey requires our unwavering commitment. It's a shared responsibility to rebuild what was stolen, their childhood, their dreams, and their sense of self-worth. Together, you and I can be a voice for the voiceless, a force for change, for justice, for healing. Together, we can dismantle the chains of child trafficking and light a path toward freedom. We know it's a long road, but we are making a difference, one child at a time. Will you stand with us as we champion the rights and dignity of every child?
You know, I love that our mission partner there, her name is Andrea Cross. The cross is that place where sin is defeated, the power of hell is broken, and hope is restored. And that's what Rescue Life does. When we go into these places and we reach, or we rescue, we restore a life, we are offering hope, and we always do it under the banner of the cross. I'm asking you today to join us in this great outreach. And I have good news. We have some people that have offered what they call a matching gift. So if you look at it as sort of a cost per average, it's easier to grasp that way. The average cost to reach, rescue, or restore a child is $128. That's what we spend around the world in the various efforts. Through the matching gift, that $128 gift today, we'll actually do that for two children, two precious children right now who could be living in hell on earth, can be brought out and given the hope of heaven. Some of you could do that for many more. In fact, a gift of $1,280 would do that for 20 children today. Whatever you're able to do, I just ask you to pause, take a moment, and just say a quick prayer, and if God responds in your heart, in your soul, to go online, to go to the phone, make the best gift that you can, whatever God puts on your heart. It's about the act of responding, I believe, in obedience. We know we have the authority. We know we have the power in Christ to go into the darkest situations and set the captives free. I think God also has designed it so that we are His agents. We are His hands and His feet. And Tammy, I know you've been to these places. You've seen these children. It's heartbreaking. There's an urgency, not just because of the magnitude of the evil and the sin in our world, but there's an urgency because there are children right now today that can, well, I mean, they will be restored or reached, rescued because of the gift that someone makes today.
Yeah, yes, Randy. And when you say like today, right now, that clock is ticking.
Yeah.
The clock is ticking. And you know, I don't think we can wait another second.
No,
I really
no,
don't think so. And so if God is laying it on your heart today, please don't wait. We're ready to go. We got people all over the place that are at those borders that are trained to spot a dangerous situation, to spot a little girl that needs rescue and that needs to be reached and restored. We're ready to go. We just need you. And remember, this is the last week. Mm-hmm. We want to reach these girls while they're alive. We want to help restore them. We want to give them wholeness and a hope. We want to bring them life. Would you help us do that today?
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help rescue one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the brand new book from James Robison and Jay Richards, Fight the Good Fight. This book will open your eyes to what's at stake and the unwavering truth that God isn't finished with our nation. It's time to fight the good fight and return to unshakable biblical principles. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the NIV Large Print Thin Line Bible. This easy-to-carry, easy-to-read NIV Bible with comfort print allows you to take in more of God's Word each time you open your Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I hope you're going online and giving the best gift that you can. Remember, this is the last week to be a part of this amazing mission that we all get to be a part of. And for any amount that you're able to give to the mission, I want to make sure, we want to make sure to get you this book. It's so, so good. And I know it'll be an important book in your life, especially if you struggle with imperfections and in trying to live a perfect life.
Absolutely. Just request that when you make the gift today. And, yeah. And Kyle, I appreciate this reminder. It's the truth. I feel like it's not just permission to make mistakes. Mm. It's permission to let God perfect His will in us.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, because we're going to be imperfect while He does that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So let Him be perfect through you.
Oh, amen. And then right back to the very beginning, be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. Because when He does it, He perfects us. I love that.
He will finish the work that He started in you.
What a promise.
Not us.
See, this is good news.
We're His handiwork.
This is such good
news. We're not our handiwork.
Oh, yeah. This is such good news. I hope you heard this today. I hope you'll share it with other people and request the book. Appreciate you guys being here. You coming back next time?
I'll be here, I promise.
We'll be here. Hope to see you on Life Today. Don't you worry, dear. I'll be the one that you call on, the only one you need when you feel cold. I'll be your everything. I'll share your every
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience. Tomorrow, Dr. Trent Langhofer was a drug-addicted escapee from a mental health institution who now shares how God transformed his life. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.